Good morning to each one of you. It's certainly good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lee, for those songs. I really love that last song there you sang. So this morning is our council service, as was mentioned already. And it's a time where we look within. As we think of our communion service coming, think of preparing our hearts, our lives for communion. We use the honor system. And so we don't look around at each other. We look at ourselves. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. In 1 Corinthians 11, 28, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And so I believe what it's saying is, take some time, examine yourself. Take a closer look at your life. And you can enjoy fellowship at communion. You can enjoy the Lord's Supper and the time of feet washing. And so I was thinking about that. I thought, you know, I was thinking about when I was younger, when I was a young teenager, sometimes I would get a little maybe apprehensive when it came to communion. I don't know, just thinking, you know, am I good enough or whatever. And, you know, if you're a young person here this morning and you're thinking those thoughts, it shows your desire to be in touch with the Lord, to be in tune with Christ. And it's certainly a good thing to be concerned about that. But God does not want us to be apprehensive and afraid, fearful, whatever, when it comes to communion. It should be a time of fellowship with each other, an exciting time. And I look forward to communion when it comes. And you know, if there's something in our lives, if there's sin there, God will show it to you. Your conscience will tell you. Address it and take care of it. Confess it. But I believe communion should be a time of a blessing in our lives. And as we have observed the ordinance of feet washing and the Lord's Supper. And that's why we only have it twice a year. That way it doesn't get so repetitious. We have it observe that twice a year. So the title this morning that I have is simply two words, fruit bearing. And I want to look at some two points in the form of a question. Think about, as we think about this, fruit bearing. And this message is just as much for me as what it is for each one of us here this morning. And so, as I studied Jesus' words on bearing fruit, I was struck again at the requirements that he asked for in bearing fruit, and made me, myself, take a deeper look into my life. And I have a few scriptures that we want to look through here. First of all, you can turn to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to look at verses 15 to 20. And at this time, I'm going to read Matthew 7, 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And that's in that verse 20, that could be our theme verse here this morning. As we think about bearing fruit, Christ says in verse 16, and he says it twice there in that little section of verses 16 and 20, ye shall know them by their fruits. And so we see the motives in a person displayed in the fruit that is being displayed. It defines the inner self. And so the first question that I have this morning for each one of us is, what fruits are you displaying? What fruits am I displaying in my life? And is it good or is it bad fruits? If we drive in our driveway, off to the left, before you get to our house, off to the left is a field. It's supposedly supposed to be a hay field, and it's very little. It's kind of just a little corner plot. And so earlier this year, I had mowed hay. I got some hay off of it, and it was a pretty good crop of hay because the first cutting this year was pretty good. But then it got dry, and it's no longer really hay anymore or grass, nice grass. It's a lot of weeds. Weeds are growing up, and it's basically a purple field. It's basically a field where you would go in and take pictures now because it's just full of weeds. And I mean, it's pretty flower, like purple flowers, but it's no longer grass. The weeds have come up and kind of corrupted the grass. If I would, some of you farmers, if I go ask you how much you could give me for that hay, for the hay, if I would bale hay off of it, they'd probably say it's not worth a whole lot because it's full of weeds. It has been corrupted by the weeds. The quality of the product is basically not there. And the Bible says we shall know them by their fruits. And we think of a good tree and a bad tree. The fruit that is being displayed. Jesus says, examine the fruit. Is it a good tree or is it a bad tree? Examine the fruit. As we think about different fruits today, thinking of, there's a lot of good fruits. Peaches are, I think, over with or about over with maybe. I think apples are coming in. But that fruit, if it's not sprayed and if it's not taken care of and pruned, and those trees are not taken care of by the whoever takes care of the orchard, it's gonna, that fruit's probably gonna get worms, and it's gonna probably the fruit will get corrupted or whatever. And so recently I had an apple that I got the apple, it looked fine, and the outside looked totally good. Like I couldn't see anything that was wrong with it. And then I got down, ate the whole thing pretty much, got down to the core, and here's a worm carcass in the core of the apple. You sick thing. How did a worm get into the apple when it looked totally fine? And that was very disturbing. I don't know how that works, but do we make it look good on the outside? And you know, there's a lot of people today that do that. They make it look good, everything looks fine, look good on the outside, but inside there's just a rotten, angry, miserable person. And this world has so many people like that, and especially in the area of false teachers. And as he says there in verse 15, beware of false prophets. I believe, you know, we need to be on guard today because we need to question all the voices that we hear. And is it a false prophet? Is it somebody that's trying to gain popularity or trying to make it look good on the outside? And or maybe they're in it for fame or for money, wealth. You shall know them by their fruits. And the question, maybe to get our minds rolling here, what is good and bad fruit? What is it referring to when it says good and bad fruit? You shall know them by their fruits. And in Matthew 12, Jesus says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so fruit, I believe, is displayed in two ways. It is displayed in what comes from within us out of our mouth, from our heart, which out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's one way where fruit is displayed. And secondly is our actions. And I think many times our actions speak louder than words. And thinking about the ways where we display fruit. And, you know, I believe what Jesus is saying here is a good tree continues every year, year after year. That tree produces good fruit. A good tree produces good fruit and fruit that we love to eat. And that tree receives nutrients from the soil. It receives whatever nutrients it needs to go through the tree and come out in the fruit, through the branches and into the fruit. And that tree, and as I believe it's the same way we think of a Christian following the pattern of righteousness. And year after year, a Christian is defeating Satan and living for him and just develops a pattern of producing godly fruit. Yes, we're going to sin, but, you know, we need to continue in the spirit. It's a picture of somebody that's continuing. Yes, we're living in this world in our fleshly bodies, but we're continuing living in the spirit. And that's the power of Christ within us allows us to continue to produce good fruit. And in the same way, you're thinking of a bad tree. I don't know what you think of when you think of a bad tree. I think of an I think it's called an ailanthus tree. It's the worst tree, I believe, that God created on this earth. It's just a good for nothing, really. It is, they grow over at our place. They're called an invasive species. They smell. You can't cut them over right. When you cut them, you got to watch it. They're kind of dangerous because they'll split out. And if you cut a big tree over and you start cutting it wrong, it'll split out. You got to be careful you don't get hurt as you're cutting it over. And they're just an annoying tree. That's what I would call a bad tree. And that's the same way, thinking of living, somebody who's living for self, living for the flesh, and just, you know, somebody that may make it look good, but they continue living for themselves because it's fun, and it gives you the pleasures to experience. And I believe Jesus may be thinking of the Pharisees here. You know, he may have had that in his mind as he was teaching, thinking of the Pharisees who were bound by the law. They were living, you know, but their righteousness was as filthy rags. The righteousness did not override the dirtiness that was inside. And I'd like to read, moving on to Matthew chapter 12. Jesus describes it another section here where I want us to read over that, 33 to 37. He says, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." And so we see here what our hearts, what our soul desires after, what we seek after, that is evident in the words that is spoken. And it's so true. I'm sure many of us have seen people that they're very angry. And you go to an airport when things are shut down, you'll see plenty of that. But just see somebody that is just running at the mouth, every foul word they can say. And you know, that is evident of what is inside and is coming out, what is inside. And verse 36, it's a sobering verse. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account in the day of judgment. And is that saying that, you know, we need to say short little three-word sentences just because we don't want to say an idle word? It's not what it's saying. If you look at the Greek word for idle, it is argos, and basically means inactive, lazy, or useless. And there's other definitions too for that. But I believe idle words is words that are cutting, words that are harmful, meaning harm to others. I think that's essentially, and Jesus is thinking of maybe, the Pharisees. Just before this, these section of verses where Jesus was speaking, the Pharisees said, you know, this fellow, he casts out demons by Satan. He casts out these demons, and he's using the power of Satan to cast out these demons. And, you know, those words are idle words, useless. And, you know, many times thinking of what, you know, maybe making themselves feel good in saying this, just arrogant. And so, secondly, the next question is my life displaying much fruit? And turn with me to John chapter 15. Another area where Jesus talks about displaying fruit. John chapter 15, it's on the section on the vine. I'm going to read verses 1 to 8. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And so in this first eight verses, the only part of Jesus' speaking here on the vine, it mentions three different times, more or much fruit. And that's just jumped out, stuck out to me as I was studying here. It's kind of a theme through here that Jesus is asking for us to bear fruit. And he says much or more fruit. And I believe that should be a mission of ours, to bear fruit. And it's not a contest. It's not like we're trying to make ourselves look good or we're trying to bear more fruit than our brother or sister beside us. And it's not about who has the most, but I believe our goal should be in life to bear more fruit, because that's what Jesus specifically says. I mean, he prunes the branches. He prunes that tree in order for them to bear more fruit. And I don't believe, we're going to get to a point in life where we think we're done. We're basically done bearing fruit. I think we're going to continue as long as we're alive. We're going to continue to bear fruit. And the only way for us to bear fruit is to be connected to Jesus through the vine. The only way. The nutrients being supplied through the vine, through the branches, and into that fruit, through the roots. And then in verse 8, what's the reason we should bear fruit? I believe one of the reasons, very importantly, is herein is my Father glorified. And so that is one of the reasons that we bear fruit, so God can be glorified. And another question is, what is the fruit? What is the fruit that we are supposed to bear? What specifically, what is it? One thing that I would mention is the fruit of the Spirit. I'm thinking of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. First one is love. Christ-like, having a Christ-like love, and that's an agape love. It's a little different than the world views love. It's an unnatural love, and as I think of that type of love, I think of in Ephesians chapter 5, where Christ says a husband needs to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And so we think about what kind of love that is. The same love that Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. And that is a love that Christ, the same type of love that Christ died for his church. And so kind of puts it on a whole new level to think about that. So that's one, love. And the next one is joy. Joy is not dependent on circumstances. Expressing an inner tranquility. Okay, that's joy. Peace. And thinking of peace, and that is one of the questions on the council papers. Do you have peace with God and your fellow man? You know, that is a result of allowing God to work in our lives and also to being surrendered to his will. Long-suffering and patience. Long-suffering goes along with patience. Long-suffering, patience. Showing forbearance towards others. Somebody that is slow to anger. And we see a lot of, thinking of long-suffering and patience, we see a lot of bad fruit displayed on the highway, don't we, at times, and in our world today. Kindness and gentleness, that is being considerate towards others, putting others' needs before ourselves, just showing kindness to others. Goodness is another one, signifies moral excellence and integrity in character and actions. So thinking of, you know, Christ, his goodness that he extended to us, extending that to others in a form of mercy. Next is faith, having a complete belief and trust in God that Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain eternal salvation. And many times we think of faith as something that is believing without seeing. And so thinking of faith. Meekness, translated gentleness. That is having an attitude of humility and compassion to others. Kind of goes along with gentleness. Thinking of meekness. Temperance. And along with that is self-control. It's kind of another word for self-control. Something that are thinking of temperance and self-control, something that we need to teach our children, right? Our children, it doesn't come naturally having self-control. And even sometimes us as adults, too, can need to be taught that as well. So, is thinking of bearing fruit. Christ wants us to bear fruit, but he doesn't ask us to bear the weight of the branch. He asks us to bear the fruit, but not to bear the weight of the branch. And, you know, he gives us nourishment that we need, and if we are connected to the vine, and he gives us everything we need to bear fruit for him, it's readily available. Danny Simpson lived in Ottawa, Canada. The year was 1990, and Danny was desperate. He didn't have the resources he needed to survive. He was short on cash and shorter on skills. He had run out of time and options, so Danny took the gun that had been handed down through his family's line, went to a bank, and robbed it of $6,000 in a holdup. Now, Danny wasn't very good at robbing banks, and he was promptly arrested. At the trial, two significant things happened. First, Danny was sentenced to 6 years in prison. His opportunities to succeed in life dropped to minute proportions. But second, as the courtroom looked closely at the evidence, folks really looked at the weapon he'd used. It was a .45 Colt semi-automatic, the kind gun collectors look at with salivating stares. It was an antique. This gun, made by the Ross Rifle Company in 1918, and its value, about $100,000. Did you catch that? Danny robbed the bank for $6,000. All the time he's holding a gun that valued at $100,000. And so Danny already had what he needed without even knowing it. And the same way, and that's a true story, by the way, this name, this Danny Simpson, and, you know, unbelievable. But, you know, he didn't know, he didn't realize what he already had. And so at the same way, God is not going to ask us to bear fruit without equipping us to bear that fruit. And God gives us everything we need, his word, the Bible, as an ultimate resource. And the answer is always in God's word. And we have it here. We have more than what we need already to bear more fruit. So thirdly and lastly is simply never cease from being fruitful. Never cease from being fruitful. And sometimes we just don't feel like it. Sometimes we run out of steam. And I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. In closing, I want to look at Jeremiah chapter 17. This is two of my favorite verses in the Bible. I actually have them written down as part of one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And I shared it this week at an annual district ministers meeting. I want to read 17 verses 7 and 8. It says, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." And that is a simple, very simple, easy for each one of us to understand. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed. When we hope in the Lord, where else are we going to want to go to? Where will we want to go? And so we put our hope and trust in the Lord. It says we will be blessed. You know, nothing else in this world is going to satisfy. And so as thinking of being blessed, Israel over and over again, they were blessed by the Lord, and he extended his hand of mercy so many times in the Old Testament. And then there was times where Christ pronounced judgment on them because they turned to idols and they would go following false gods and they would live for themselves. But he says, blessed. And so, you know, thinking about our hope, we have hope in the Lord and we trust in the Lord. But as I think about it, you know, there's so many people in the world who do not have hope at the same time. And as we think about, you know, imagine not having hope, not knowing where to turn or what to do. Be no reason for us to be here today. Be no reason to go to church without hope. But we have hope that when Christ came and died for us, we have hope in him that we can live eternally with him. And I was thinking about that this past week. I had a conversation with our insurance, with insurance people, and the one that I normally communicated with and worked with, I hadn't heard from her for a while. It was some other guy that had contacted or whatever to communicate with, and I just asked him about where's Amy or something about Amy. I had been working with Amy, and he told me, he said, last July she took her own life. So this is kind of hit me, like, you know, this somebody that I had worked with different times throughout the past few years, and she's no longer here. And just thinking about, you know, there's so many people like that have no hope. And, you know, I don't know what the situation was there or whatever, but we need to, as God's people, bear fruit for him, and in so we can direct those people who do not have hope, direct them to Christ, and so they can see us. And the world is watching us. The world is watching us pretty closely, especially in the dark times in which we live, when there's so much unrest and there's so much insecurity, and there's so many people that are looking for hope that don't have it. They are looking at the people that have hope, and that you can see it being displayed by the fruits. And then verse 8, it's like a picture of light in the darkness. It's a picture of an oasis in the desert, where it says, it's like a tree. This man should be like a tree. Just imagine that picture. Through the desert, you're going through the desert, you're traveling for hours, and it's barren and dark, or barren and ugly for so long, and you come out, and all of a sudden there's this tree, there's a stream there, this tree has green leaves, and it has fruit. And it's a picture of us today. It doesn't matter what comes, the storms that come in our lives, it doesn't matter if the summer heat gets hot, and, you know, things that come into our lives. There we are, standing like that tree with green leaves. And that tree is standing tall. And that tree is using the nutrients that are there, that are readily available, to produce fruit. And it says, never cease from yielding fruit. That is such a tremendous picture. And so, you know, thinking of us today, when we are grounded and rooted in God's word, that is where we need to be receiving our nutrients from. And that's the only way that we can bear fruit for him. And so this morning, as we think about our communion service coming here on October the 6th, I want to leave with you these questions. What fruits are we displaying? Which fruits are we displaying? Is it good fruit? Is it bad fruit? Is our lives displaying much fruit, as Jesus says in John 15? Is our lives displaying much fruit? And also, lastly, to never cease from being fruitful. And so, as we think about that, I encourage you this week to think about that. And wherever you go, whatever situation you come into, there probably will be situations where people are watching you, and what's your response going to be to a certain situation. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes we don't know what's the right thing. But just remember, God is glorified when we bear fruit for his kingdom, and he is glorified. So God bless you. Encourage you to keep trusting in him this week and being fruitful for him. So let's all pray. Lord, a prayer.